Welcome to Marketing for the Sales Guy, a podcast that aims to share marketing ideas that salespeople can use, but also hopefully will be relevant to B2B marketers that want to see sales results from their marketing efforts. Hi, everybody. On the show today, we have Audrey Kong, founder of Audrey Kong Consulting Limited, a virtual CMO, branding, and marketing consultancy. And we are here today to talk about what I think is a really interesting topic, the virtual CMO. Welcome to the show, Audrey.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Thanks for being on. Obviously, we don't want to get into a long history of everything you've done, but I think it's always a fascinating point to start. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what your agency does?
Yes, of course. Audrey Kong Consulting provides solutions to organizations who require areas of work normally carried out by what I would call marketing leadership roles. You know, areas like crafting brand strategy, brand repositioning, putting together 3 to 5 year marketing framework, agency selection, you know, which is a huge task on its own, and putting a team together and training them, you know. And to me, one of the most important is also to put a marketing agenda into the boardroom, if that makes sense. But what I do, my company does provide is also to oversee the whole process of bringing each of these pieces mentioned to light. I mean, ensuring that, you know, they are executed in the most successful manner.
I know we wanted to talk about, you know, the role of chief marketing officers. And it seems to be a very challenging role. I saw something in the Wall Street Journal recently and they were commenting on recent research and that said that CMOs have the shortest tenure in the C-suite. I think the average or median is around 2 years. And now we have this trend for companies to use virtual CMOs, virtual chief marketing officers. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that today. And I guess the starting point, you know, how would you define a virtual CMO and what that potential role might be in a company?
I would actually say a virtual CMO is a CMO on demand, literally, you know, it's an outsourced role.
Right. I mean, are there specific roles or tasks that you think lend themselves well to a virtual CMO?
Well, there's a myriad of things that a virtual CMO can do. But if you ask me to prioritize what are the top two areas that I think would be most beneficial to any organizations, is this person should absolutely be a part of the leadership team, because marketing should have a voice at the table. I know it seems like a no-brainer, but that actually does not happen in some organizations. So having a voice means, you know, marketing agenda is at the forefront of business planning, not an afterthought, right? So having this person at the table means marketing agenda can be tabled and discussed. And secondly, I guess, is really be involved in marketing strategies, you know, setting mid to long-term marketing plans, and all aligning to business growth plans. I think these are the two key areas, and the rest will be more on setting up processes and measurements, you know, dashboards for monitoring, KPIs, and the education part, that is key.
Right, okay. No, that makes a great deal of sense. Is it possible you could tell us a little bit more, maybe some of the different roles that you've had?
Actually, the roles that I've had in this 2.5 years, The difference is in the industry. One is financial and the other one is in hospitality. But both actually started off very strategic. I did a 360 brand repositioning for both companies. One company had a lot more execution in the rollout after that. And the other one, once it's repositioned, you know, it kind of got embedded into their day-to-day communication and how they built customer experience. But both had strategic and tactical, because both 2 years in, I'm still working on them. After the strategic part has been put in place, I actually stayed on to help them put together internal marketing teams and managing their day-to-day.
Okay, that's great. I just out of interest, what is the more interesting one for you? Is it the strategic kind of overview or is it the execution that's of most interest? I'm just curious.
That's a very good question. And you know what? I can't choose, because the strategic part to me is always what drives me, because I go into a new organization, you know, I need to get to learn their business. That part absolutely is fascinating. And to learn that business, I need to speak to all their leadership team. It could be head of sales, operations, finance, you know, et cetera. The chairman themselves, the CEOs themselves. And that, like piecing together a jigsaw puzzle, right? So that part to me is very, very interesting. But then you then put together this 3 to 5 year marketing plan. And then when they sign it off, then the fun part also begins. The creative part begins, right? So it's a difficult choice. I wouldn't look at it like that. I think both sides are interesting, just that one happens before the other. For both strategic and execution, the way I look at the difference would be one works with internal leadership team a lot more, and the other one works with fun creative agencies and business vendors more. So, you know, there are merits to both, and I enjoy both sides of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just think you're a braver person than me. I think I would shy away from the delivery aspect of it. I'd come up with all the ideas, put things in place, and then I kind of run away before the delivery aspect came to fruition. So no, I think you're a braver soul than me, Audrey. So is there a type of company, Audrey, that you think most suits this kind of virtual CMO role?
In my 2.5 years into this business, you know, I tend to think that, you know, a VCMO is good for companies that is looking to grow their business and their existing team actually does not have a senior leader in marketing that can help that growth, and that they can't afford a full-time person. So that's where a VCMO can come in, because obviously it's a contractual role. You know, it could be 6 weeks, 6 months, you know. It's also good for companies that outsource their marketing needs to agencies, but they don't have a senior person to represent them within the company. And I say that because advertising agents, there are some amazing advertising agencies out there, but end of the day, they do not sit in the office. They are not close to the people in the office, the day-to-day transactions and conversations that happen in the office. They will actually not understand the business needs as a person in-house would. You know, so in those circumstances, I think a VCMO would be an option. Then, of course, the obvious is, you know, there are a lot of companies out there who also have a single marketing person or team, or very, very lean team of two junior to mid-level people. But in those instances, most often than not, these team members would probably be doing very tactical stuff and not the strategic stuff. So again, you know, VCMO, because they would normally focus on more strategic before the execution, would be a good choice or good option.
So there are a lot of positive things to say about the role of a virtual CMO. Are there any disadvantages for a company when considering this kind of role?
Well, it's not permanent, because VCMO's role is an on-demand role. Therefore, in whatever that time frame this person is around, there should be a clear career development path, you know, being drawn up for the internal team so that they can be upscaled and be trained for the day when this virtual CMO is not around. I mean, the skill set obviously has to move from tactical to more strategic so they can step into more senior roles eventually. Alternatively, of course, you know, this virtual CMO is to be brought in for quick fixes and laying down foundations, and they can be moved on to an oversight role as well. That's another way of looking at it. But over the course of this person's involvement in the business, if it shows a need for a senior leader in the organization, then eventually they will have to switch this person over to a full-time senior marketing person, because it may end up costing the company less over the long run. It costs them less in the short term because VCMO comes in and fixes something, a need in the organization. But if the company realizes then that, you know what, there is real added value to have a senior leader in marketing, then they need to start thinking about how to make this a permanent role by doing a proper hire.
What do you think would be the pros and cons for the virtual CMOs themselves in taking on this kind of role?
The cons for me personally is not to get too attached to the business, right? Because you know it's not a long-term role. And it's difficult because I would like to think that we all take ownership in what we do. So, you know, for the strategy that I put in place, a 3 to 5 year marketing plan that has been signed off, some amazing projects that's been planned and delivered and executed, you want to keep track of the results. You know, you want to know, did it do what it's supposed to do? Did it help sales? How many percent did it revenue increase last quarter? You know, it's about walking away from all that. So that is one area that I'm still coming to grips with and trying to shift the mindset that I cannot get too attached to the businesses that I worked on. That's one. The second one is, of course, it's obvious, it's a lot of investment, both in time and emotions. And let me explain that. Time-wise, definitely the learning curve is steep, Jeremy. You know, every time I walk into a different business, I've got a lot of experience in finance, but my last client that was in financial was in an area of business that I'm not familiar with. So, you know, for the first month or even beyond that, you are learning every day. You just need to find ways to familiarize yourself with the business model, understand, you know, what are the areas that needs, I wouldn't say needs fixing, what are the areas that marketing could help bridge, you know, or could help propel forward. And then on in terms of emotions, you know, you get to know new teams, new people, you learn to work with them, you develop friendship over time, you know, if you're in a zone, a place where you can go into the office, I mean, COVID allowing. So these are the two main areas. Pros, oh, definitely, there's never a dull moment. This is what I love about having my own brand consultancy. Each project could be so different from each other. Like I said, an example, it's in my case, one is financial and the other is hospitality. And I'm just having so much fun. You know, you could be having a financial project one day and the next day you're having a meeting with the hospitality team talking about check-in times. And it's really cool.
I think it's an interesting point about, you know, the people, because I think when you think about opportunities, you sometimes forget the people. And I can imagine, especially if you built up the team and helped develop them and then you have to move on. I imagine that's kind of a big wrench.
Yeah. What I find, there's always a silver lining. So the one thing that becomes a continuum is, of course, some of these relationships that you built become friends for life, you know, or business relationships for life. And the agencies or business vendors, I call them, that I either met through my client or that I have sourced for my clients also become your network that, you know, with each project that I then do in the future, I also then work with the best people because I go through so many agencies and business vendors that you know who is good in what areas and it becomes very effective and efficient for my future clients and even myself. So that's the good thing that comes out of it as well.
Oh, I think that's an excellent point, which I actually considered. Yeah, the extension of your network, but not only kind of more people you know, these are people you've worked with and experienced a great deal with. No, that's a great point, Audrey. I just wanted to ask, in terms of all the companies you've worked with, other than kind of getting up to speed with their business, what do you think was the biggest challenge that you experienced in that role? And how did you kind of solve that?
That's a very good question. I would put them into three buckets. The first one is definitely garnering internal support. And I'll speak about that in a bit. The second area would be figuring out and putting in place very quickly the marketing resources. And third area, I would say, would be senior management's or the company's commitment to branding, to serious branding. So just going back to the first point, what do I mean by garnering support for my recommendations? As this role is normally hired by the most senior person in an organization, you know, the chairman, CEO, or MD, it is absolutely critical to gain trust from the rest of his or her leadership team. So how do I do this is to invest a lot of time. You know, I'm trying to get talk time with them, sharing findings, listening to their input, listening to their views about the business, bouncing ideas, you know, et cetera. And over time, I also hopefully build excitement of what is to come in the branding and marketing space. So that, you know, when we do launch or kick in some of like suggested ideas or action plans 8 to 12 months down the road, I actually have a few more advocates within the organization to make it a success. So the second area is figuring out and putting in place the marketing resources. As this role is best suited for small to medium-sized company, marketing teams either does not exist in these organizations or it's a very lean team from one person to two people. We actually need a lot more resources. So I would look into hiring agencies or start the hiring process for internal teams to beef up the internal team as well. So all of these in itself is a big task to find the right business partners to work with or the right people to build the marketing team internally. The third area of challenge is committing to branding. So in the perfect world, marketing team who covers the areas of branding and customer experience should be treated as equal, if not, I feel, more important than other functions within an organization. But the fact of the matter is when revenue falls or in a poor market condition, marketing budget most often than not gets cut or taken away very, very quickly. So that in itself, to me, is a huge challenge. The reason for that is brand building, as we know, is a continuum. You know, it needs time for the brand halo that we're trying to create to reach its full effect of influence on consumers. And by cutting off span halfway or reducing resources halfway sometimes means that the plans put in place will not reach its full potential or the targeted results that we have projected. In fact, it could sometimes even mean that the earlier efforts that has been put in place are wasted because, you know, most plans work better with various moving parts all working together.
So I just wanted to ask what kind of advice you would offer to senior marketers who are really considering this kind of role.
Well, based on my own experience, I would say anyone who's thinking of becoming a virtual CMO, you need to be prepared for a very steep learning curve because every project that you walk into, unless it happens to be the same business format as where you previously worked in or have worked in, you just need to come on board very quickly and start value adding, you know, because we go in as consultants, right? So they would absolutely expect you to start contributing very quickly. So very steep learning curve. And more so if you're joining an industry that's not familiar to yourself, which in my case. But it's interesting. It's a steep learning curve, but at the same time, it's fun and it could be fun and interesting, right? Depends on how you look at it. The other is, I think you need to be very curious. You need to be very brave. There's no dumb questions. You need to ask a lot of questions to speed up that learning curve. You know, you need to be a little bit thick skin, you need to ask to go out with sales or ask for their time. And you just need to ask questions, you know, that I don't think you need to show that you know everything because we don't. It is a brand new, it's their business. We are in there to listen to them, you know. And then you need a lot of skill set to draw things out of people. Sometimes I know that, well, many times I notice when you sit down with head of departments, they don't know what to tell you. It's not that they are hiding it from you. They just don't know what you need to know in order to do your job in putting together that marketing strategy. So you need, I think it's a skill set and it's getting better every time I speak to someone. It's to learn how to draw more information out of people when you sit down to learn about their business. It's asking the right questions and you will get some good answers.
Yeah, no, I think those are some really interesting points. I think the fast learning is one that kind of most people would think about and asking questions. But I think it's a really interesting point you made about not just asking questions, but asking the right questions and knowing how to ask questions, because people just don't generally give the answers you really need to kind of take action on. So that's really interesting. Thank you very much indeed for being on the show, Audrey. I really enjoyed having this discussion and a really interesting chat on the virtual CMO. If people wanted to connect with you, maybe ask some questions or maybe even discuss some opportunities, what would be the best way to reach out to you?
Oh, they could just send me an in-message on LinkedIn. I'll be very happy to take any inquiries or questions or, you know, any advice that I could give. I'll be happy to do so.
That's great. Once again, Audrey, thanks for being on the show. I'm hoping we get to talk again on a future episode, but thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for having me.
So, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, do share. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you want to access other podcasts and related articles, you can visit us at omjmedia.com. That's omjmedia.com. Until next time, bye-bye.